all of us have had a really long day, full of meetings. My name's Jill Hood. I'm going to be chairing the Community Wellbeing Scrutiny Committee for this evening, and we're going to begin with agenda item one. Minutes of the 12th of July 2022, as previously published on the Council's website. Can I have someone propose the minutes? Thank you, Councillor Edgela. Would someone like to second the minutes? Thank you, Councillor Sutherland. Do we have any apologies?
Yes, Andrew? Chairman. Yes, I've got apologies received from Councillor Cooper, who substituted this evening by Councillor James, Councillor Loughran, who substituted by Councillor Godfrey, and apologies from Councillor Phillips and from Councillor Price.
Okay. Do we have any public question time?
That's nil.
Councillor session?
That's nil.
And we do have a members item. Councillor Tony Pearce, where have you gone, Tony?
I'm just going to open the slide.
I'm so sorry, I'd lost you.
Thank you, Chair. House which is next door to the one I live in was empty for many years, belonged to the County Council, and they just left it empty for years. But eventually somebody bought it and improved it. In fact, it was on television, one of these doing the items things. And now it's let as an Airbnb. You may think, well, what's all this got to do with this thing as well? One of the people staying in the house recently said he was on holiday from the West Indies. I thought it was a bit odd, really.
It's usually the reverse.
The West Indies to have a holiday in Stafford. And it turned out that he used to work in Stafford. So I had an interesting chat with him. But subsequently, I read a letter that he'd written in the local paper, the newsletter, in which he said that he was very saddened by the state that Stafford was in compared to when he used to work here. And one of the things he pointed to was the amount of litter in the area, especially, in fact, around litter bins, which always seem to be full. And that sort of set me thinking, because it's an issue that's been raised in my ward on a number of occasions by within the parish council of people who are saying, well, there used to be a litter bin here, but there isn't one now. And those that are there don't seem to be emptied very often at all. So I thought, you know, it's an important issue that we ought to discuss. And I did take a few photographs, and so, Andrew, if you could just take us through the slides. So that's one. And I have to say, these were all taken within a few days. It wasn't a case of having to look around for these. They were just there. So that was one actually quite near to where I live, thank you. That was one in the park. That was one, I think that's the one near Coton Fields Allotments. And that's, I forget where that one is, but it's crammed full. Thank you, yeah. And that was in the town centre at night. Thank you. Now, I have been to one or two places, and I thought, so because I've been looking at this, I thought I'll just look out for the litter bins that are being used there. And this was in Bristol, and as well as being of a decent size, it has this, you know, feed me litter, which is a way of improving the appearance and attracting people to use it. Thank you. And next to it was one specifically for cups, waste cups. Thank you. That was in Lytham St Annes. I mean, it's a huge one, but you see, there's no litter around it. That's the key thing. Thank you. It's a good size. This is Blackpool, but similar to some of the ones we use. Thank you. That's it. Thank you. Yeah. So. I think there is a problem. I think the problem is in terms of the number of bins. I think over a period of time, the number of bins has been reduced. There's a problem with the size of them. Some of them are far too small. I think the amount of litter is increasing. And I don't know if it's to do with more people doing takeaways or what. there is more litter. I'm convinced
I am
of that.
People. Definitely.
Yes.
I am a people.
Well, indeed, but it's a fact, and we have to deal with it. Mm. And there is also the question of the size. Some of the litterbins just aren't fit for purpose. And there's also, of course, the very important factor of how often they're emptied. And I know that during COVID there was a real problem because some of the staff weren't able to work. Some of them were often ill, some of them couldn't work, and so on. But I mean, that's behind us now, hopefully. It's still a bit of an issue. But you know, I do think that we aim to be a clean, green borough and all this, and it's being spoilt. And I know that the general issue of people dropping litter is another matter, and that does need dealing with as well. But, you know, litter bins, that's something we can do something about. And that's why I brought this matter to the committee's attention, Chair.
Thank you, Tony. Mark.
Yes, thank you. Obviously, I'm now cabinet member of the committee with responsibility in this respect. When I read the question from Councillor Pearson, thank you for the question, I was a little bit bemused. It does seem a little bit of a flight of fancy. The reason I say that is that, and I'll ask the officers to collaborate with what I've said afterwards, but there has been, in the first paragraph, it says, the reduction in the number of litter bins. Now, there has been no reduction in the number of litter bins. There has been a change in places, and the type of bins that are put there because of the usage, as Councillor Pearce quite rightly said, in terms of when the pandemic was here, a lot of people were walking, they walked everywhere, and the demand for litter bins changed. But there has been no reduction in litter bins. And then the second, almost in the same sentence, it says many are full long before they're emptied, which gave the impression that they aren't emptied very often. Now, I've been, again, assured by officers that the bins are emptied at least on a weekly basis, and depending on demand, they're actually increased. The frequency of emptying has increased on that point. Now, we've got some really good employees that work really hard, and I must applaud them at this point, because I've since doing the portfolio, I've taken note. And if you go around the villages and the town, it's rare that on a journey you don't see one of these collections that the bins are coming into the transit vans with the cages on. So it's a shame that this is targeted at the bins when I'm not quite sure, as Anne said, it should be targeted at the people who are throwing rubbish around. And if Councillor Pearce wanted to travel around the country to look at bins, could I suggest he goes to Edinburgh or Birmingham, which again is a Labour authority, and they didn't have the odd full bin, they had the odd full street of rubbish. And that's something that we don't have at Stafford, because we have such a good relationship with our contractors and with our employees. And finally, again, I would suggest having a closer to home, going to the McDonald's on the by Able World, they've got some fantastic bins that there's no litter, and basically it's a big open mouth effectively with a target on it, and it's almost a challenge to throw the rubbish into the bin, and they, along with many other retail food producers in the town centre, do realise that it's produced overnight, but if you go in the morning, first thing in the morning, they're all there cleaning it up again. So I don't think that Stafford has the problem that we're sort of being told about. And I'd like quickly just to have Lee.
I wonder if I could just interrupt. I'd just like to ask Councillor Pearce what time those and what date those photographs were taken.
They were taken about a month ago.
Right. Was there any special festival going on or party in the park?
No.
Okay, thank you. Lee, would you like to?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so first of all, regarding the photos on the screen, if it can be provided with dates and locations, we can look into why they were full and overflowing, and What I would say is that is the exception to the rule, given our emptying of litter bin regime, the inspections that take place across the borough. I would say the photos that have been presented are rare, and if the dates and times could be provided, then we can look into if there are any issues around that specific time.
Thank you, Lee.
Thank you very much, Chairman. I understand Councillor Pearce's concern and everything, but two of those pictures actually was taken on holiday destinations, you know, where they've got the big bins and that. And I can understand them having big bins in the middle of towns and what have you. But I think the message we've got to get across to people is, if it's full, the bin's full, when they're out walking the dog and that, take it home and put it in your own bin. I think we've got to educate people into using their own bins better than dumping it. I mean, I drove 2,000 miles in Spain not long ago, and I never saw this to them, but I never saw any rubbish either. So I think the people out there are educated to put it into their own bin. So as I say, I think we have the agreement with takeaways that they do collect their own rubbish round and about in the morning, don't they? You know, with the takeaways we've got in town, and I'm sure that was developed a while ago. I mean, I did a litter pick with some residents on Siltmore Lane a few weeks ago. We collected, just on that one road, 7 bags of litter. But you know what? Half of that litter, I think, from people that live and they're just chucking the cans into the gardens, and not into the gardens, but onto the side of the road and everything. So I think the message is, take it on with the bins full, and I don't want to see the housing and everything full of big litter bins. I think we've got enough, and I think, as I say, take it home.
Thank you. Thank you, Anne. Councillor Hobbs.
I agree with you. I was in France in the summer, and we drove to Calais and crossed up, and we didn't see any litter at all. And we got off the ferry in Dover, and the litter in Kent was absolutely terrible. Mm. So there is a problem in Britain. There really is a litter problem. In 2020, there were 3 tons of litter picked by volunteers in the Stafford area. So it's not just Scotland and it's not just Birmingham. There's a big problem. And I think it's right across the country. I'm not pointing the finger at Stafford people. I mean, there is some reason that, and something's going on. And I think we really seriously need a campaign, you know, to try and promote people. Yes, take your rubbish home, put it in the bin, recycle, the whole works. We really do need to educate people about it.
Thank you, Councillor Hobbs. Ray?
Thank you very much. I'm not going to repeat what's already been said, but the reality is that the UK seems to have this nonchalant habit of, if you've got litter in the car, bin it, and the way to bin it is throwing it out. And it's a sad, you go anywhere in the UK, anywhere, and the place is an absolute tip. But saying that, Stafford, in the main, you look at the borough, it is in the main a good, clean, green area. The photos we saw, really, you can see those anywhere at any time. But it all depends on area and time. And we got litter bins in the village and around the ward. Quite honestly, as I say, it depends on what time, and in the main, they're well used. The good thing about seeing them full is that we know people are using them. The question of whether it's that they're the right size is a question that I can only leave to you, councillors.
Thank you, Roy.
I was going to make 2 points. The first one was that when I was a youngster and I dropped a piece of litter, I got the belt around the back of the head by my mother, which taught me a lesson, which is you take the litter home. And I think that's the biggest problem, is that you have this generation who were respectful of the countryside and respectful of, in terms of dropping your litter. Now you don't have that. So education is one point, and I think, you know, carrot and stick. It's 75 quid, isn't it, for dropping litter? I've got notices in our office saying the same thing. Does it make any difference? No. What we need is people out on if you like, is doling out a few more fines and getting it into the press so that people start to realise that it is unacceptable to drop litter in this borough.
Thank you. Aidan.
Thank you, Chair. Councillor Pearce is quite right to raise this. He obviously has seen a problem and is reporting it to this committee. It's a correct and proper thing to do. The one thing I will say is, though, is that I have to pay tribute to Street Scene. Street Scene work extremely hard. There are some very dedicated people who take pride in their work and do an excellent job, despite the lack of funding from this administration at Stafford Borough Council. And that's all I shall say, Chair.
Thank you, Aidan. Tony?
I want to respond to the comments, so I hope everybody's managed to have their say now.
I haven't had my say
well,
yet.
Well, by all means do, and I'll...
Thank you. Education. You very rarely see litter around our schools. I'm talking about stone. Very rarely. Our children, we don't need to belt them around the head. Thank goodness. Our children are well educated. We've got lorries with the children's pictures on. The bin wagons, which I know Lee instigated, they absolutely love it. They take a pride in their area. Why would we want to blight our towns and our spaces with any more bins? I've never understood this, and I fought so strongly since I became a town councillor 100 years ago. Please, why keep suggesting bins? Take your litter home with you, as Councillor Edgula has already said. And if the bin's full, go to the next bin or take it home with you. I'm sorry, I can't support this. I can understand what you're saying looking at the pictures, but I just can't support it. I know in Stone, we know when our Street Scene operatives are going to be coming round. I can walk under the subway and the guys and girls who've had a good time the night before have puked in the subway. The remains of their takeover cartons are there. But I can virtually tell you the time that our Street Scene operatives will be down that subway clearing onto Westbridge Park if the youngsters don't take their litter home with them. But please don't suggest more bins. They really are so ugly. And we have a problem with our boaters who are too lazy to get off their boat at the designated areas and put their litter into the huge bins. They'd rather go and try and stuff a week's rubbish down into a small bin. So we have lots and lots of volunteer groups who are constantly on the watch. And, you know, we all brag about how much litter we've actually picked, and it's great fun. And we see along the road in Stone the green bags, and we know who's on that day, and we know who we can go and talk to and say, there's all glass over there, some fool's dropped a bottle or something, it's cleared immediately. So I'm really sorry, Tony, I don't agree with what you say, but thank you, please have your say. Yes,
well,
Mark.
Yes, one,
certainly.
Public service announcement. If a councillor or a member of the public does find a bin that's overflowing and dropping out, please get in touch with Street Scene, because as you said, they will come and empty it.
Yeah. Well, actually, what you can do, if you're a councillor, is lift out that bag of rubbish, and underneath you'll find there's another bag there. You can tie off the bag, as we do in Stone, and then replace it with the bag. But maybe that's a bit too far.
Can I therefore, on behalf of Street Scene, thank you for doing that?
You can. Tony, would you like to have the last say now, please?
Thank you. Well, first of all, on the number of litter bins, I have to say the assurance that's given that there's been no reduction in number, I don't accept that. I know that in the ward that I represent, there are several litter bins which have been removed at some point and have not been replaced. I, in fact, took up the issue in one area of the ward, which was a particular problem with litter. I was referred to one of the Street Scene workers who met with me on site, and essentially said this. This area of grass, we used to cut it. And when we used to cut it, we'd clear up the litter. But we haven't got the contract anymore. And so, we're not going to have a litter bin. I find that difficult to accept, but that's what I was told. And there is still no litter bin at that site, an area where there is a lot of litter dropped. So that's the first point. And I can give other instances where litter bins have been removed and not replaced, if you wish. But I shall be asking for a map of all the litter bins locations in the town over the past 5 years so that I can see exactly where they were and check to see that they are there now. Thank you. The second point is that many people have said, oh, it's a general problem about litter generally. Well, I accept litter bins don't solve the problem of litter. And there is a problem both in terms of people's attitudes and also the amount of litter that's being produced, if you like, by takeaway companies. But that litter bins help with that issue if they are of the right size and if they are being emptied regularly. People tend to use them more if they are emptied regularly and if they are the right size. So that is a separate argument about the amount of litter. I do a litter pick in my ward every month. You know, we all do it, hopefully. But it's a separate issue. And in fact, it creates problems for those very people that we've been paying tribute to, the volunteers and the street scene workers who do an excellent job. It creates additional problems because people, I'm afraid, you know, however much we think they should, will not take it home with them if the litter bin's full. They'll stick it in a bush, or they'll just throw it under the hedge. That's what they'll do. Now, if you're going to carry out a mass indoctrination programme of the population of Stafford and completely change their attitudes to litter, well, that's wonderful. You know, I await with bated breath to see it happen. But somehow, I don't think it will. And in the meantime, let's replace some of these totally useless bins, the ones that function properly, and let's get them emptied regularly. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Pearce. So, Lee, you've heard what Councillor Pearce has said. If you could feed back some information to him. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Okay. Moving on to item 5B, the Health and Care Overview and Scrutiny Committee. If we can note the report by myself. And can I just say that if anyone wants to ask any questions, I'd appreciate them given to me prior to the meeting. And then I can either email the information or I can actually personally give that information. Thank you. Can we note that report? Thank you, Councillor. Thank you. Okay. Item 6, called in items.
There are none for this meeting, Chair. When it gets to the work programme, I'll explain a little more.
Okay. Item 7, the officer's report, and we start on page 11. Victoria, if you would, and Tracy, if you would like to. Thank you. Okay.
So, through you, Chair. So, it was, I think, pre-COVID, it was agreed that we would provide yearly updates on the Community Wellbeing Partnership for Stafford. So, the report details the funding that we had the previous year and the commissioning services, and just provide a brief evaluation of what was delivered. And also, unfortunately, at the time of writing the report, we didn't have the information for commissioning services going forward, so that's still being agreed now with the Staffordshire Commission.
Okay. Has anyone got any questions for Victoria and Tracy on this report? I would like to ask a question, which is on page 13, which is 5.8, which is resolve, substance misuse and mental health. I see reports and hear reports so often, and I find it frustrating that we have figure after figure, and but never any report on the success of the organisation. There's never any figures that give us... I know it's very difficult with mental health services, but it always seems that the mental health agencies don't come to us and say, these are our successes, these are what we've done. And I just wonder if there's a way that we could find for them to report to us. I know that we've read that substance misuse more often than not comes with a mental health issue, but that's just my very simple question is, how do we measure their success? Thank you.
Page 16, there is an update of the vision that Resolve provided, and it includes a paragraph on the outcomes that have been achieved over the 12-month period.
Yeah, and I've highlighted that, and I read that. It doesn't exactly give any successes or quantify the work that they're doing, and I have to say that recruitment of volunteers without face-to-face work and supervision that they talk about, the organisational volunteers, so I sort of was horrified at that paragraph and thought, so we've now got volunteers who are doing probably phone calls, tick box exercises. Am I barking up the wrong tree here?
Sorry, yeah, so through you, Chair. Resolve the commission. It is about prevention early intervention, and they were commissioned to educate, I suppose, our communities on where to go for help, signs to look for in their families, in their friends, in schools, you know, sort of peer support. So really what they were providing is they don't have a caseload, and that's not what we commission them. They don't work one-to-one with anybody. It is more about the early intervention and early prevention, early education. So those volunteers then in the community groups, most of this have already been established. There's been a volunteer from each of those groups that's kind of taken on that role of signposting in a simple.
Yeah, I understand what Resolve do. It's based in Stone. I'm fully familiar with their work, but yet again, I will ask, how do we quantify their success?
Through you, Chair. So we quantify their success through the elements of the Commission services that we require them to deliver and the outcomes that they achieve. So as Victoria's alluded to, our focus on all of this work is targeted at preventative work and early intervention. It isn't sort of like that medium to high-end resource that the county provide help and support for.
Yep.
This is around the elements of education. So we measure their success on the elements of their delivery on the commissioned services and the commissioned activities.
So, forgive me. So, we're measuring their success on them delivering leaflets and volunteers, talking to people who may think about substance abuse or think about alcohol abuse. We don't actually know. We don't actually know. You just said their outcome achievements. How do we know what their outcome achievements are?
Yes, so in our experience, and our experience is quite vast in terms of preventative work, the best source of preventative work is through education and through awareness and through just talking through what, you know, the symptoms are. And that way we can prevent, fingers crossed, people going down a route and a pathway that we don't want them to go down. So resolve for us as a council are judged on that preventative work. Because that's what we commission them to do.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Hobbs.
Oh, you'd have to look at trends in that type of crime, wouldn't you? If you wanted to look deep. I mean, you could request that from police, I suppose. You know, if you said when the programme started and looked at before and after, you might see a trend. That's what you'd have to do.
Thank you.
Yes, I mean, we do through you, Chair, we do all of that anyway through the figures that we get through the police. Part of Victoria's role is to look at problem profiling with all of our partners and to make sure that we target our resources in the right area, given the amount of funding that we have to commission some of these services with.
Okay, thank you. Anne?
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, I mean, on page 17, you're talking about antisocial behaviour, and it's quite a question, actually, I want to speak to Victoria about today, then, so I'll have a chance, so I will come back to you tomorrow. We've got a very serious case, actually, in our area, and I've got to say, I was out at 1 o'clock this morning, listening to fireworks going off. Absolutely terrible, but I'll talk to you outside the meeting about that. But my question, really, on page 18, is about the 5.30 future arrangements. Staffordshire County Council, I assume that means, grants of £5,000 for community grants. Now, I do remember Police Crime Commissioner mentioning something about that.
So, yeah, it's the Staffordshire Commissioner, sorry.
Oh, is it? The commissioner actually mentioned that in the meeting, and I've been trying to find that where he mentioned this £5,000 for, well, a few weeks actually, and I couldn't find it. So I'm glad to see it here, but how is it being used and how can we...
I think that's probably a question with the greatest respect, Chair, for the Staffordshire Commissioner, isn't it?
So I'm asking
the question. Sorry, I do have some information now from the Staffordshire Commissioner that I can share. It is down to the community wellbeing partnerships, generally the Staffordshire Council and the police, to identify hotspot areas and then encourage local groups that don't have to be constituted. Any local groups that find a solution to a problem, they can go through the community foundation. They will support them in putting a bid in for £5,000. So I can send that information out.
Yes, certainly.
Because this includes everybody around
this
table.
I'd like to see that
information. So we've got the meeting on Monday with the Police Crime Commissioner. So it's a question I would ask on everybody's behalf, for all councillors from the borough, seeing as I'm the representative on that. And ask where that money is being spent and which area it's being spent in, yeah?
If you'd have been listening to Radio Stoke today, the Commissioner was giving some very, very detailed interviews.
I'm so anxious to Radio Stoke.
Councillor Pert, did you have your hand up?
I was going to try and maybe hopefully wrap up this sort of session and put just a bit of context to some of it, maybe. First of all, I'd say it's the Community Safety Partnership, and so that's, you know, partners from across the whole of the public sector, and different of those partners will be seeing different things on the ground, which is why it's really important that it's one to many. It's never designed to be anything more than touching those hot spots and areas and trying to avoid getting them to be areas that we all have to have concerns and work. Second of all, there is a very detailed annual report which goes back to the Crime Commissioner just to demonstrate what we have been doing, and this is a subset of that report. But clearly data is a fundamental part to what we're doing, because otherwise you get to working in areas that are just people's pet areas rather than the areas that are, you know, likely to come up. You know, I think we can all name them in our own wards, we can name them across the whole of the borough as well. But some of this is about avoiding those hotspots, so actually not being able to provide data on everything is because actually we've avoided something rather than it happening. I think the other thing is that, for me, some of this is about providing the right tools so that people can either have role models or mentors or other media which they engage with, like social media, which takes them away from the edge of doing something or other. And a couple of years ago, nitrous oxide was a major problem. It's less so, but it's still there. And actually having someone who can talk to you sensibly about the dangers of that, and results specifically, has been very active in that sort of area. But all of the groups that we referenced in this report are very active in our communities on trying to provide, not necessarily a sticking plaster, but to provide a structured way of de-escalating something that may be a problem.
Thank you, Matt. And through you, Chair, I mean, I can then ask the question, you know, as I say, where is this money being spent, and is any being spent in Stafford Borough? Just ask the question. Okay.
Thank you, Councillor Adler.
And I'll bring it back and report back on that.
Okay. Thank you, Victoria. Thank you, Tracy. Okay, if we move on to page 25 now, and we take this page by page, if anyone wants to. So, if we start page 25, can I ask Tracy L111, empty homes. Have we got an officer in place now? I did read in the notes that we did have someone. Have they started?
No. Yes, they started on Tuesday.
Excellent.
So I'm hoping that the data from quarter three onwards will start to reflect that person they've been in post.
Brilliant. Thank you. Anyone on page 26? I had a question on page 26, which was intervention review, Citizens Advice Bureau. Why has the Citizens Advice Bureau taken this post? Why haven't we taken this post? Right.
So we do need that independent view of what our service is like and how we can do it better, basically, as well.
Okay.
So it is providing independent financial debt advice related to housing and also representing people at court as well.
Right, thank you. Jeremy.
Thank you, Chair. I think there is a third element to this, which is some people have already prejudged the situation about approaching the Borough Council, rightly or wrongly. And actually having someone who is independent of the borough is really useful, if only to do some of the things that Anna's described.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else on page 26? Anne?
Just that the low target, it's obviously a very difficult thing to deal with, I can imagine. I just wonder why the target 35 we're only reaching 22%.
I think what we've got with this target is we're looking to increase prevention and reduce homeless relief, which is when somebody presents as homeless and we have to, we have 100 people ahead of that stage. We do a lot of work with housing associations, with the voluntary sector, with community groups, and a wide range of partners to try and get them to present to us at a really early stage. Because this target is linked to legislation, if they approach us prior to 56 days before being homeless, we can't tick that prevention box. So we're preventing a lot of people becoming homeless prior to that 56 days. To have it as a target that we hit, it has to be within those 56 days. So I think what we're not seeing is the huge amount of work that the team do in really preventing this upstream and not letting those situations escalate. So they would have to come through to us at prevention. We're trying also to try and reduce those coming through to us at relief stage. Obviously, if somebody's homeless, we definitely want them to approach us, but there's a lot of people who will bury their head in the sand and really only approach us when we reach crisis. The work we're doing with partners is trying to address that. We have a number of people coming through the doors in the earlier stage. There is a small core group there that we really struggle with. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna. Okay, shall we move on to page 27? Tony?
Yes, Chair. 224 about recycling and encouraging households to do it. Just wondered, I mean, I'm aware that there was a sticker put on the inside of the recycling bins to say which sort of waste was acceptable for recycling and what wasn't, but in many cases, that's now gone along with the recycling, I think, as they empty the bins. Do we have a leaflet? Do we have a leaflet setting out what's acceptable and what is
issued? Just off the top of my head, that goes with the council tax book.
Thank you,
yeah.
Lee.
Yeah, through you, Chair. So there's information that goes in the council tax booklet. There's not a separate letter or flyer that's sent out in addition to that. The information goes out via methods such as social media and on the website and emails, as well as that council tax booklet information.
Okay. Well, I'm always reluctant to talk about having more printed material because then that ends up being recycled, hopefully. But I did come across this leaflet, which actually Walsall Council produced, but it's a very clear explanation of what is acceptable and what isn't, and with indications of where you should rinse stuff out before it's recycled and so on. It's very clear, and something like that I think would be quite helpful.
Chair, can we just make another point? It's good that we actually give out a leaflet once a year to go with the council tax so people know what we're doing with their council tax partly, but they've got extra information as well. And I know a lot of people actually sort of don't take notice of that, which is a shame. We are changing the collection of some recyclables, the type of recyclables, on a regular basis. And sadly, if we're not careful, we'll put a leaflet out, and within 6 months it'll be defunct and go into the recycling again. So I think the mix of media that goes out from Stafford Borough Council, plus social media, it's a strange world we live in, but I think that's probably the way forward. But
Councillor Winton said, it's a mix of different methods of communication that we use. We have found our contamination rates have reduced since the introduction of the blue bag and chargeable garden waste as well. And also we're on track for our recycling rate targets as well. So we feel at the moment the communication methods we're using are suitable. The technology that we only have in CAB as well and on their back office system can actually go down to quite a specific local level where bins have been locked out or contamination has been found. So we can actually take advantage of that and use more targeted communication campaigns rather than a blanket campaign, which might not be quite so efficient. We can go right down to walk in street level to target areas where we feel
think that's it, isn't it? There's still a lot of ignorance about. I know I had a lady the other day ask me why her bin hadn't been emptied, and I said I'd pop round. I couldn't believe what she'd put in her blue bin. And trying to say to her, you know, she genuinely didn't understand. And she was a new tenant, and obviously she'd missed a leaflet or whatever it was. But it's education, isn't it? It's word of mouth, social media. So, yeah, thank you, Lee. Okay, anybody else on page 27? Page 28? Anybody? Page 29? I think 2.4.3, a wonderful summary from Helen, but I wouldn't expect anything else. Anybody else? Page 30. Back to the disabled facilities grants yet again. Anna, I just wonder if you, I know we've touched on it tonight, but if you'd like to just give us a bit of verbal about that, that would be good.
Yes, absolutely. We have obviously performed well in quarter one. We have a lot of applications in the system. I think what we're doing really closely at the moment is working with the contractor to monitor each of those applications, where they're up to in the process, so that we can try and ensure the smoothest handover when the service ends on the 31st of March next year. So I think there's a lot of work going into that. Obviously as well, we have one dedicated officer that's setting up the new service, and he's very much working towards that 1st of April deadline, looking at all the different arrangements that need to be put in place. Things like the OT provision going forward that we talked about earlier, delivery arrangements, and ensuring that there's that smooth handover, and making sure that those cases that are currently in the system are either finished or able to be rapidly progressed as the new service comes in-house.
Excellent. Thank you, Anna. Anyone got any questions for Anna? Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. So we now move on to page 31, and Emma, you're on. Thank you, Emma.
Thank you, Anita. I'm just going to give a very brief overview on page 31. So this one shows up to the first quarter to the end of June, shows a £42,000 variance against budget and additional cost up to quarter one, with an increased cost for the year in The next few pages take you through the main reasons, and then the following pages give you the more detail. Most of it is in relation to changes in income, and obviously the electricity costs have had an impact across the portfolio, so they're the main reasons for those.
Emma, can I ask on page 33 at the top under leisure portfolio, the staffing variation, could you just explain that to me, please?
Okay, apologies, which?
Page 33 at the top. No, 33.
The
23,000. Yeah, 26,000 staffing variations.
In leisure.
Yeah, I know I have.
Are we not going to do this?
Absolutely, if that's how you wanted to do it. I was getting ahead of myself, so eager to ask questions. Okay then, so page 32. Aidan.
Chair, I'm going to sound like your echo. Staffing variations. It's obviously, say, cut the bulk of the money for favourable variances in the various portfolios. Can you tell me which jobs have disappeared or which are in abeyance?
Through you, Madam Chair, it is just staffing vacancies for a short period of time while we're filling them, and we've been having trouble recruiting, so that'll be where you've got some of the vacancies. So there's not a systemic one where we're deliberately keeping posts vacant, they are just natural staffing vacancies.
And these future, these are the posts that will be filled?
As far as I'm aware, there is no intention to remove any of the posts. and they all have budgets and are intended to be filled.
Again, with your permission, Chair, can I ask the portfolio holder, will these positions be filled?
Which one are you asking?
Which one will you want to answer?
I'm happy to answer on
it, it goes through the three different
answers. Obviously, it would be inappropriate for me to answer anyone else's.
Jeremy's standing in for Mike Smith. It's one for you.
Thank you. We continue to sign off vacancies that come through Cabinet, and there is no intention not to do that where the posts are needed again.
If they had a shilling, Chair, for every time I've heard that, while I've been on various committees over the years, I'd be, well, not rich, but I'd be getting that way. I'd like to see some proof when these positions are filled, Chair, because we seem to see the variances, but we don't see them when they're filled, these posts are filled. One quick question on page 32, which is as close to your heart, I'm sure, Madam Chair, and certainly close to mine, Grove Warden Services. Do we have one?
Through you, Madam Chair, that is operated by the Street Scene Service. We used to have a contract that we paid some money for externally. Now the Street Scene Service collect them, and it's fair to say that, as far as I'm aware, we don't have many collections.
We don't have a dog warden, though, do we?
No, we don't. It's done by Street Scene.
Yeah. So we saved £2,000 on dog warden costs, but we don't have a dog warden.
What I think I understood from the answer was that there is a service there that if there is a dog that needs picking up, Street Scene will do it.
And so you, Madam Chair, the reason that it's separate is because we have to report on it separately to the government, so that's why it still sits within that.
For you, Madam Chair, if there's a dog to be picked up, I'm sure it'll be picked up by Street Scene. As I pick raccoons up and all sorts of things you fly on the floor, skunks or whatever. What I'm saying is, though, £2,000 has been saved from where it says dog warden service. Now, dog warden service, as far as I'm aware, will be even taking care of making sure that poop is picked up, that kind of thing, and stickers are put out. it just highlights the fact, actually, that there's a service that used to be there that isn't there anymore.
Could I actually help with this? Yes, the service exists, but in a different form. In fact, I, as a local member, I actually got some stickers put out. In the last
you're not a dog warden.
By
he is now. Can I just take Tony before you, Councillor?
Well, Chair, there's an issue of dog fouling that... is the major problem. I mean, at one time perhaps stray dogs was an issue, but it doesn't seem to be so much these days. But certainly dog fouling is, and I just wanted an assurance that that is still being that service for leaflets and stickers and so on is still available.
But surely we didn't ask the dog warden to go and clear dog fouling, did we?
No. Chair, to give clarity, can I suggest that we give a written answer to this?
Yes, yes you can.
As to what,
I appreciate
what form the dog warden service takes and what we do at the moment as Street Scene.
Through you, Chair, I just wanted to make a point that there's something that was there once and isn't there now.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for that. Thank you for pointing that out. Now I've got Roy first and then Councillor Pert. Do you want to?
I was just going to make the obvious comment, which is instead of having one person employed as a dog warden, and I don't see many skunks or raccoons round sometimes when I go to Trenton, Trenton Village, I do see some sort of non-native animals.
Is the monkey quad in the wrong place?
Yeah, exactly, that was what I was talking about, apart from anything else. That could be misconstrued. Right. But I would argue, instead of having one person doing it, we've now got 30 or 40 people doing it. Actually, the reality is there are ways of delivering services better, and this has been an opportunity that's been taken.
I still hold by my original comments, Chair. There's something that was there that isn't there.
Thank you, Councillor Godfrey. Roy, do you want to speak now?
Yeah, it was only about utility costs. With the government giving assurances, or not, as the case may be, that utility costs are going to be capped, we have any information about our utility bills being capped?
Through you, Madam Chair, as I understand, it's just for 6 months with a 3-month review. We don't, it will apply to us, but
Turn the lights off then, please.
At this point, we haven't costed the impact of it.
Thank you, Emma. Have we finished on page 32? I do. For Emma, if you could just explain the first bullet point, staffing variation, £26,000.
Yeah, through you, Madam Chair, that's an open spaces opposite the park service and some seasonal work as well as a slight
increase. Okay. Anyone else on page 33? Tony.
Yeah. There's a reduction in income from bereavement services. Do we know why?
Reflects activity is the only thing I can say. Obviously, we do set the budgets, and it is down for the first quarter against what we budgeted.
Chair, do we know if that reflects numbers? Does that simply reflect numbers?
Chair, we do look at the income and we compare it with previous years. Obviously, it gets more tricky because obviously we've had a couple of years where the income has been more fluctuating. So it is our best forecast at this point. So I'm not aware it's a reduction in numbers, but obviously don't want to.
Okay. Councillor Edgela. Oh no, I beg your pardon. I've got the wrong gown.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
I just wondered what the reduced football income was. Probably everybody knows, but I don't.
Through you, Madam Chair, that just relates to the sites that we have. So we've got the rent down for the football pitches.
Okay. Councillor Godfrey.
Thank you, Chair. Following on from Councillor Pearce's point about the budgeting for bereavement services, partly answered the question that was fluctuating numbers in the last couple of years for obvious reasons. Is it wise to base this year's budget on last year's budget? Would that be a wise thing to do?
Through you, Madam Chair, that isn't what we did. We set a budget based on a profile over the last 4 years, and then we come up with what is a reasonable approach. Obviously, your crystal ball gazing, so we do the best we can to come up with what we believe is reasonable and what we can base some information on. Obviously, if we had, you know, exact science, you'd work everything down to the nth number, but we do a spread over a reasonable basis in which to look at them.
Thank you.
Thank you, Emma. Okay, if we can move on to page 34. Page 35, anyone? Page 36. Page 37. I would like to ask not a question on the dog warden service, but a question on the CCTV expenditure. I'm not aware of where every CCTV camera is or coverage. I'm just wondering, are we getting value for money? Are they all working? Are they clear, the images that are shown? Do we know this? Thank you, Victoria.
So, through you, Chair, sorry, I have only just recently taken over CCTV from the 1st September. So, yes, we have a maintenance and monitoring contract. So, the cameras, the majority of the time, are up and running. Obviously, now and again, as technology, there's a few glitches. out of all the cameras we've got, I think we have one with a slight issue that's being repaired at the moment.
Good. Good.
Sorry, was there another part to the question?
No, that was it was I was asking, are we getting value for money? Are they all working? And you've answered it, Victoria. Thank you. Anybody else? Tony.
It's a reduction in income from pest control services. And I just wonder what the cause of that is. Because I'm aware that there are private contractors offering the same service, and there is the possibility that the charges we are now making, which have increased considerably over time, are now putting off people who might otherwise use it. That's the question.
Through you, Chair. Similar to previous conversations, it's a difficult to forecast precisely seasonal variations and different pests that rear at different times of the year then have an impact on income. Regarding private fees and charges, it's something we need to go back and look at, but from what I've looked at before, say Stepford Council offers excellent value for money, and I'll be very surprised if there are any private contractors or providers that were offered a cheaper service for the pest control services that we offer.
Okay. Thank you, Lee. Page 39. I'd like to ask, please, Elaine Sports Centre. Expenditure. What are we actually spending on?
Through you, Madam Chair, that looks like it relates to an accrual of spend from the year before, as it's only
one. Okay, thank you. Anybody else on page 39? Page 40? Anybody on page 40?
Well, I'd just like to ask about Stafford Castle and Eden's expenditure. And it's very, very popular. And I was thinking, walking up there the other day, they should, you know, it's a shame that there's no cafe, or, you know, I'm sure it would make an absolute mint. Is there a cafe?
The portable.
But you know, that would be a source of income, wouldn't it? Maybe that would be expensive as well, I don't know.
I'd like to ask at the bottom, the leisure strategy and leisure management contract, in those figures, are we talking about the extra cost for the heating of the pools that we've got, or is that not a section that actually covers that?
Through you, Madam Chair, that primarily relates to the pension past deficit payments.
Okay, all right. Thank you. Councillor Godfrey. Thank you, Anna. Councillor Godfrey.
Thank you, Chair. Just following on from my colleagues from Hearts regarding the Stafford Castle, I was stopped on one of my epic walks the other day by a lady, and she said, "You're a councillor." I said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "Why is Stafford Castle going to the dogs?" And I don't mean furry dogs. And anyway, so I said, "Well, I don't know. I mean, it's run by Freedom Leisure now, or managed by Freedom Leisure." And so then she gave me a big long list of things which I thought had gone downhill in the last two or three years. One of which was the information boards, which she said she actually takes a cloth up and cleans herself because they were getting so green and dirty. And I walked my hand the other day up there and the path is disappearing. So I just thought it's worth noting that Stafford Castle is actually deteriorating as a place to go, which is a real shame, bearing in mind what you just said.
It's so popular. Yeah. Just think, you know, Cathy, you might actually make something new, I mean, but I don't know.
Is that something that we can take back to leisure? I'm sorry, Freedom Leisure.
Yeah, through you, Chair. I can give those comments and I'll take those back to Freedom Leisure and see what their response is. And, regarding the cafe, I think we need to do a business case to decide
try to forecast it backwards, bring in. I know the visitor centre have also in the past offered drinks just from the little counter in there as well. And I think it would need a well thought out business case to consider something like that.
Thank you, Lee.
Thank you.
Anybody else on page 40? Nope. And page 41. Here we have the disabled facilities grant smiling at us again.
Chair, can I just ask clarification what forecast based on pipeline means?
Hold on. I was going to say through you, Madam Chair, I'm assuming that's the number of applicants that they've got coming through and visiting for the year.
Yes, it talked about the pipeline earlier on, didn't it? Certainly not Putin's gas, is it, that we're talking about? Okay, page 42. Councillor Godfrey.
Thank you, Chair. Just a straightforward question, really. It's got green containers replacement. Is that the green bin?
Lee, would you like to answer?
So presumably the blue bin's the blue bin. Because it said green bin.
That's good.
Are you sure? Then you've got bit lower down. It says waste container replacement. What which one's that?
Brown.
Ah, you're getting to my point, sir.
Yeah, I know.
I would suggest, Chair, that brown bins probably isn't there because there's probably an awful lot of them not being used at the moment. Therefore, you wouldn't have to buy any more.
Well, my brown bin's been emptied this morning and it was full.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was
buying. Time of the year when we are going to be full of
relief. Does anyone want to answer Councillor Godfrey's question?
The question is, can you tell me which bin is the waste container replacement? Obviously, I just have the answer about the green container replacement is the green bin. What is the waste container replacement of £93,630?
Through you, Madam Chair, I think what we did when we put the budgets together last year is that instead of having to work out green, blue, brown and bags, we decided to just put a scheme together that is waste containers replacement to look at the service as a whole, as opposed to splitting it. And I think our intention is to probably merge all of those items and just call it a waste container replacement.
So it's just a titling issue.
It's a titling issue.
Yes. Because it'd be very interesting to see if there were any more brown bins recently.
Yeah.
Lee, I wonder if I could put a question to you about, for instance, green bins whose wheels fall off or lids fall off. Do we have replacement wheels, lids, etc. for these bins?
Yeah, through you, Chair. So if we receive a request from residents regarding a damaged or lost bin, then we can arrange replacement of that bin. It wouldn't necessarily be a brand new bin, but it'd be a fully functioning wheel bin to replace what was there previously.
And do people still have to pay £30 to replace their green bin?
Not that I'm aware of, Chair. Let me go back and check.
Okay,
that.
Thank you, Lee.
That's okay.
Thank you. Yep. Councillor Godfrey.
Thank you, Chair. Will the two cabinet members close their ears now, please? I have to say, I was on holiday last week in Wales. I was enjoying myself in Wales. But one thing I had to do from my holiday home was recycle. And I have to say, it's much easier recycling here. Here we have got really big bins, you put everything in. I think what Councillor Pearce's idea of an extra leaf that would be a good idea. But when you compare it to the complicated rigmarole you have to go through in other places, it's not bad.
Anglesey was a bit like Jenga. Little boxes, they fit one on top of the other. And
that's it, yeah, you've got three stacks of three of them.
you should be happy you don't live in Sydney, because when I was there in 1977, we had 13 bins for the recycling that we had to go through.
The whole of it, Sydney?
just on the iPad.
Do you, Chair, don't give them ideas.
Oh dear.
In other words, it's a lot easier.
Okay. Right, moving on to page 43.
Councillor Pearce,
please.
Yes, there's an item, the Victoria Park pedestrian bridge, which was meant to link the footpath that goes round the park with the cafe, basically. There is an access, but certainly anyone with a wheelchair, for example, couldn't use it. And I understood that the intention was that it would enable the cafe to be used when the park was closed. So it says it's still under discussion. Do we know any more about that? What the discussion is, why it's still under discussion?
Lee, have you got your hand up there? No? You're giving way to Councillor Pert, are you?
No.
Nope, he's going to answer.
Councillor Pert may have more up-to-date information than me, but my latest information is that it's still under discussion.
Can I ask, when we read that things are under discussion, is this a general discussion, or do we meet for the discussion, or is it just officers meeting, or is it ward councillors meeting with the officers or committee members? How does a discussion work?
Well, this one in particular, we're involving conversations with officers and the relevant portfolio holder as well.
Okay, so
I wouldn't source them, they don't know.
We get to know eventually. So I would like to ask then, Stone Leisure. Good heavens, how many years have we been discussing this? Project due to commence in 2022/23. Any update on that?
Through your chair, still due to start in 2022/23.
Okay, well, I'm on that board.
Is that right?
And
indeed.
I haven't been told that.
I can tell you very clearly that it will start in 22-23,
yeah.
Provided we don't get some unforeseen element that disrupts supply chains or anything else. We seem to have had a fair few over the last 2 years, and the intention is very clearly to start that project this financial year.
But if we start our discussions early enough, we shouldn't hit any of those problems, should we?
Yes, this should be moving, yes.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else on page 43? Okay, so I think we are done on questions, and we're now going to move on to the work programme, which Andrew is going to take over.
Thank you, Chair. Just very briefly, the work programme is contained for the scrutiny committee in the appendix that starts on page 47. The next meeting's November, and on page 47 looks quite a long list, but since we published the agenda, there's been some alteration. The annual reports that are listed there, namely air quality, food safety and health and safety, they've been requested to be moved on to the January meeting. But there is a call in item. It's the Stafford Borough Council Climate Change Adaptation Strategy, and that will be coming forward at the November meeting when Councillor Price will be here to answer questions on that, Chair.
Okay.
So those are the alterations work programme since we produced the agenda.
Okay. Anybody got anything to say or ask before I close the meeting? Councillor Pearce.
Chair, I appreciate that some aspects of what we consider under scrutiny may overlap with other committees, and waste recycling might be one of those. So the question would be, would it be appropriate to have a report on progress on recycling?
Well, I think it would be a good idea, but I wonder what the portfolio holder.
I'm quite cautious about
when an item comes to committee, which is the waste recycling, every councillor has the right to come along and get involved and look at the decisions that were made for the committee. And I think if we start replicating work across all of the committees, we only need one scrutiny committee. So I think it's something that you as chair and other chairs ought to think about, but I do feel that if we're not careful, we will be covering the same ground.
Sorry, what was that last bit?
We will be covering the same ground.
Yeah, but I think as chairman of this committee that it would be a good idea that we have some details fed to us without duplicating, because it's been discussed in detail on this committee on a number of occasions, and I think that would be really helpful to us.
I think this is something for officers to advise on, but
okay.
I don't think that we should be sort of taking officer time up.
Okay. Councillor Godfrey.
Chair, you're absolutely right. This is a scrutiny committee, and it scrutinises the finances and the services of Stafford Borough Council. And this scrutiny committee should be allowed to scrutinise whatever it likes.
Yeah.
Now, either the report comes from the cabinet member, or a member's item will go on to the next agenda to that effect. So
yes.
Either way, there'll be a report.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Pert.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure I've understood fully the detail, but let's not do the detail this evening. Surely it goes to what's the terms of reference of each scrutiny committee. I'm sure Andrew or Jim could advise what they are, and then whether they fall within the terms of reference of the scrutiny committee. Because the terms of reference were deliberately set up so there isn't a duplication of both office and resource, and also members, because otherwise dangerous. And we talk about this at Helper County every time. If there is a lack of clarity as to who's meant to be doing what, and everyone says, oh, it's the other person, and somebody goes and isn't scrutinised effectively, then that's the real danger with these. Now, I'm not suggesting that the one I'm specifically referencing is as significant, the one we're talking about here is as significant as the one I'm talking about, but I do suggest there's an easy way around this, which is to look at terms of reference, either falls in the terms of reference, in which case you chair and your committee's decision, or it doesn't fit within the terms of reference, and I'm sure that the chair of the relevant committee would be more than happy to invite any member of the council who wants to attend.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Edgeler.
Can I just comment and just say, you know, from the county point of view, and you'll be aware of this, Councillor Hodge, you know, wider determinations of health. So, you know, there's a lot of work that's gone on between the county and the borough, this committee, regarding health. So I'll just leave that in abeyance until it's been talked about more at county level.
Mm. I think we've discussed quite a lot in detail about recycling, etc. And I think it would be a shame for it not to come back to this committee. But I will abide by the officer's decision. Thank you. Roy.
Yeah, it's all right. I was going to say, if you look at section 4 of the Constitution, it has the overview and scrutiny for all of the committees, and all the information is there. And if you start on page 3.13, all the information is there.
Thank you, Roy. As I said, we've discussed this in detail, and I think it would be very good for it to come back to this committee, but I'll abide by.
I'll take advice.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.